Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you the knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, it is my privilege to have a very, very accomplished professional, Mr. A.N. Rao, with me. A.N., welcome to the show.
Hi, Ashutosh. Good morning. Good
morning. A.N. is from IIM Calcutta. He's worked for multiple companies, but when I asked him to tell me about himself, he sent me a very, very interesting note defining three phases of his life. So, Ian, let's start with your three phases of life.
Ashutosh, interesting thing is, or a good thing is, life does not come in a quarter and quarter mode. Sure. You know, the way we spend most of our lives, it's a beautiful flow. And, you know, where I am, you look back and appreciate it so much more. I feel that there's a phase where you're kind of building yourself. It's like the time the spacecraft is built before it's launched.
Correct.
Or the tree before it has the first set of fruit. So this is when you're making choices, you're coming to slowly a sense of where you want to get to and what you want to be prepared for in life. It's an end state. This is also the time you're preparing you're kind of imbibing your value set.
Correct.
The code that I got them by being part. So for me, this was about 24 years. This is also the time you consume a lot of resources. You know, that's the reason I'm a big believer of parents investing in life of the children to a point where they're ready to take off.
Yes.
And then comes the phase two, which is honestly beautiful. It's a beautiful phase. That's where magic happens. You are raring to go. That's when you want to put to test your hypothesis and put to reality your aspirations.
Correct.
That's when your career is built. In my case, you would have seen that I've gone through various steps and processes.
Correct.
This is when your leaders take over from your parents. And that's a fascinating handoff that happens. And this is also the time you start your phase on somebody else. You know, get married, you have your children. You know, you start investing them with love, respect, and a sense of accountability.
Correct.
And then this is the time most of your accomplishments are, not in a selfish sense, it's all around you. What are you doing? What are you contributing? These roles that you play, people that you build, people that you work with, peers. And then, then ready for what I call the phase three. It just gets more and more beautiful. This is the time you say, hey, look, you've done your part of the contribution. This is also the time your children have grown up. You've given them a strong pair of legs and a strong pair of wings. They start their phase two, in a sense. And you say, you want to come back and say, look, let me go give that hug to my life.
Correct.
And then kind of come back, bring the center of gravity a little bit to yourself. You do two kinds of things. One is your hobbies. You know, you join that. It's not that you haven't enjoyed the previous part. This is like you're sitting with your single ball, listening to music, right? And then this is also the time you have an opportunity to express your gratitude. That's really important.
Okay.
You know, 60 years, 58 years, you've got so much from life. Sometimes I feel, man, he's being disproportionately kind, but I think you used it responsibly. This is time you want to get back, contribute, make an impact. The social, you want to mentor people, you contribute, right, plus your hobbies. So I'm sitting pretty in my phase three, Ashutosh. That's very good.
What about phase four, which is vanaprastha?
I'm not a vanaprastha guy.
Okay.
But what will happen in phase three is, I keep kidding, saying, you know, God designed the body to be 120 years old, but I don't think it'll last long. 85 years is what the current standard is. Next 15 years, I'm going to be physically very, very active. I'm going to travel a lot, write, photograph, meet a lot of people. After that, you'll get a little release, you'll slow down. It's not one of us, really. That's the time your spiritual quotient is going up a little bit. You'll continue to read, you'll continue to learn. So that's why I said just three phases. Maybe, three
times. This is fascinating because, you know, I have a book on retirement.
Okay.
And I've virtually defined very similar kind of phases. And I've always said in India, none of us wants to say what we will do after 60, because the standard answer is, I'll cross that bridge when I reach it. And most people I know are completely underprepared to handle life post superannuation. And I think you are doing a fantastic job even thinking about it and talking about it.
Absolutely.
But, Ian, tell me, you know, in such an accomplished career, you talked about three phases of life. I want to know, what are the three milestones in your career that you think were defining? They could be either personal or professional.
I want to look at marriage and my two boys as one milestone, while that actually happened, spread over. Honestly, that's the spiritual center of gravity, right? Your life kind of flies around your wife and your children. That was one. The second one was, had a nice kick in the back and a sense of realism. You know, 2 years after my MBA, I started a startup. I'm talking about it. Very green as green can be. But a lot of aspirations, you know, it blew up. I don't quite have saying it, but an enormous lesson. It's an enormous lesson in, you know, what you're seeing written, saying it all happens for a reason. Teaches equanimity. And each time I had a kick in the back, it also was the kick into the next orbit. That's why I moved to Bangalore. By, you know, the real major part of my career started up there. And the third part is, you know, I turned 58, 31st December 2018, when I was ready to switch from phase two to phase three. Phase two was a very satisfying stretch of contributing, learning, worked with amazing people, worked with amazing leaders.
Right.
I think built a bunch of people myself. So the transition point, I call the phase morph points, when I said, hey, let me go explore and contribute. I think those three.
Interesting.
My wedding, my kick in the back, and my retirement. I don't like calling it retirement. It's so much more than that.
No, I mean, when I say retirement or superannuation, I've often said that retirement has nothing to do with you. Absolutely. It has everything to do with the policies of your employer.
Absolutely.
And the incredible thing, Ian, is that most of us, you just spoke about longevity, you know, 85, 90. I've often said that our post 60 life will be almost as equal to our working life.
Well, absolutely.
You know, and therefore we have to prepare.
Got to prepare, yeah.
So let's move on. You know, again, when I was reading about you, you often said you question status quo. How do you do that? And give me an example.
If you really see, we are, in a sense, fortunate being born at a time where television itself was taking off. You know, the baby boomers, the Gen X, the millennials, and Gen Z. So if we kept our eyes open, we would have seen a substantial phase shifts. And then if we let a little bit of wisdom and common sense stay with us, you would have said, look, the terrain change is enormous. Mm-hmm. Not only that, I think fortunate to be, have gone through Industry 2.0, Industry 3.0, and Industry 4.0. Then what dawns on you quickly is how short the half-life period to obsolescence has become. Mm-hmm. So that kind of wakes you up. You say, look, there was a time where you could learn a skill and spend your entire career on that, mainframe coding, for example. Now, any skill is obsolete in 3 years. Then you realize that, look, there are two things out here. You want to stay relevant, so you have to question your own status quo, because if you don't shut yourself down, then man will do. And the second part is the opportunity that's coming up. You say, look, you know, what got you here won't get you there. Go do that.
Right.
Second C is, there are two things that are changing around you. The people that you work with are growing up in a very, very different socio-technological business environment. So to connect, you have to change. You have to shut down whatever made you successful. As you won't believe it, towards the end of my formal career, when we met a customer, I still was embarrassed of saying I bring in 30 years of experience. He said, 30 years of experience? Oh my God, you must have met T-Rex. So what he said was, what has been your own strength? You have a question. What you got, you kick out of, you got a question. What got you a last pay packet, you got a question. And there is other part is, we got educated in an environment where life was a zero-sum game. They said, if you got 100%, if you got a gold medal, you touch the edge. Not so anymore. Mm. They're saying, you know, beyond the edge lies the realm of opportunities, the realm of ideas there. So unless I think you question that 100, you'll not go beyond 100 plus. So I think it's many things.
There's another quote again from your note, which says, where you say that you must have divine dissatisfaction till you live your potential. Help me understand this comment.
So this again comes from where I just left it. When I finished, got my BTEC, I got my university gold medal, I said, man, you know, I really pushed it to the limit. Before I quickly realized that in the process, you set the goal very wrong. For example, I did not focus on reading. I did not focus on hobby. But I was bloody good with mechanical engineering. So we said, look, if you don't keep pushing the goalpost, and, you know, to quote the Visa CEO, feel stupid at least once a day, you'll anyway slip into mediocrity and irrelevant. So that's the reason I said, look, what was great yesterday is great, you know, give yourself a little pat on the back, feel good about it. You got to come today and say, look, what more? What am I going to learn? What else am I going to do? That's why you see my whole career was about 10 or 11 completely unconnected functions, automates, areas out there. So you said, look, you don't reach more if you are happy with Basecamp. Then you would get dissatisfied, more than edge. Divine dissatisfaction is different from frustration. Right. You're not frustrated as there you are. You're actually excited to, you know, move somewhere else. Mm. That's the thing. Yeah. And I think I stay so even today.
Okay. And then there's another quote that I have from your thing. I really enjoyed reading that very interesting quote. But this doesn't seem to fit into everything that you are saying. And you say it all happens for a reason. And I found it very fatalistic. That, you know, everything will happen because there's a reason. So, should I make an effort?
It all happens for a reason. It's not an antithesis of a free will.
Okay.
Dad used to say this all the time. It took me a long time to realize that when I actually look back and I say, oh God, you know, when I was in the thick of it, I didn't realize. So, it's in fact the opposite of fatalism. Especially when bad thing happens on a rainy day, shit hits the fan, then it's very important to acquire a little bit of equanimity to say, let me just step back. Mm. Let me just step back and say, look, I'm frustrated thinking what all hasn't happened. Mm. You know, the plan I had did not happen. Maybe something gets stuck so from here. When I got into that mindset, when I heard Dad again and again, Ashish, you won't believe it. Every time something bad happened, I was able to approach it with much more equanimity, saying, look, I think what has happened. There's no control Z. There's no undo in life, right? Yeah. Are you going to pine about it? Or are you going to move forward? It's crazy. Maybe when you come into the thinking, you start seeing what you haven't seen before. And after that, everything that went wrong, it is two bad career choices that I made, actually gave me what could have been my best career choices in the whole 35 years. So that's why I say, look, it happens for a reason. It's just that you don't see all the data at that point of time because you're upset. Okay. So, you know, just step back, take a deep breath and say, what else am I not seeing?
Very interesting. Very interesting. You know, and one more question before I move to the other phase. And, you know, with so much experience and, you know, your own children who are probably Gen Z or millennials, and the fact that you observe so carefully what's happening in the world, what, in your opinion, are the changes that we have to go through to accept all the millennials and the Gen Zs coming into the workforce?
That's a fascinating question. I'm glad you asked that. Initially, I used to share all the millennials' jokes, 3.5 millisecond, you know, focus span, all that, etc. I said, let me get back. Okay. So I actually went and read quite extensively saying, why are we even creating these groups called, you know, whatever gems? That's when I got a very eye-opening answer. I think what they tried to do was, every once in a while, the way, you know, we had industry 1.0 to 4.0,
yeah,
there was a substantial shift in the socioeconomic environment.
Yeah. Correct.
And the people born in that time grew up under a very, very different physical, financial, geopolitical reasons out there. So their thoughts form very, very differently.
Right.
I said, look, us, you know, baby boomers who came up after the World War II, you know, our psyche in the early years got formed in a very different age. We have no right to judge a Gen Z who are actually born after digital. All the myriads of changes we have seen, they take them for granted, right? It's all there. Television is there, mobile is there, 3D printing is there.
Correct.
So that's when I think you get back and say, hey, look, I suppose I need to move. I was born in Gen Z, but Gen Z is not my identity, right? When you make an effort to read, then that's when you see these guys are looking for authenticity. They have a very low tolerance for unfairness, social or otherwise. They're much more willing to listen. I may not agree with Josh, but I'm willing to listen. Not so, you know, when we were born. They start working and contributing well. There's a whole set of things that you start seeing. That's when, right, even as a leader or as a parent, you say, look, you have to give them the space because they're trying to do things.
Correct.
That's when you stop judging. That's when you stop saying silly things like they don't have a span of attention. They multitask gracefully. We can't, right?
Yes.
So I thought that was a big change.
Wonderful. Then one more question coming from your note. You said that you have 10 thoughts clamoring for attention and begging to be shared. Very, very intense kind of a statement. I want to hear your top three thoughts.
So in fact, I said, look, where do I go from here at this stage, right? Or let's say if I'm having this conversation and say, hey, look, what are your top three? There's three simple ones. One is, there's no control Z in life.
Okay.
There is an onus on you to sometimes deliberatively, sometimes spontaneously plan. You got to plan. You got to plan. That doesn't just make you a unduly left brainer. So you use a left brain, so you give your right brain a chance. Okay. So one of the things is you got to constantly invest. You got to unlearn and learn. You have to plan enormously. That's number one. Second is, don't fall into this funny notion of a work-life balance. I said, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to trade off? That's when, you know, it's actually one of those aha moments 6 months before I retired. I said, look, what am I going to do after I retire? Like all people with an MBA, you'll make a 2x2 grade, right? BCG 2x2 grade. I listed at 38 items. Then I said, how do I rank them? Then I went to Stephen Covey's Mind, Body, Heart, and Soul. It's crazy. It was a eye-opening.
Correct.
Out of the 38, only one was in the soul segment.
Uh-huh.
23 were in the mind segment.
Okay.
So that's why I actually tell people saying, look, it's about harmonizing not work and life, harmonizing your mind, body, heart, and soul. Mind, you are hearing and learning. Your body, you're staying fit. Your wellness is important. Otherwise, you'll not last your 85. Not good anyway. Heart, your network and your relationships, enormously important, and your sport. So choose your form of faith. You got to have some form of a spiritual belief and a faith. That's the second one I give. And third is, invest in your network, invest in relationship. So it was much later that I started bringing very strong bonds with the guys who I went to school with, 72 to 75. And I said, don't do the report factor. So plan, there's no control Z. Mind, body, heart, and soul, keep them roughly balanced.
Correct.
And then build your relationships. All else kind of gets covered with this.
Very, very nicely put. Thank you. So I'm going to now move to some questions for you personally.
Okay.
And we have time for about 3 or 4 questions.
Awesome.
My first question to you, Ian, is where do you draw your inspiration from?
All around, right? There is the people that I meet, the people that I work with, the friends, though. Curiosity and learning. I mean, end of every day, you know, the couple of things that you have learned. You remember I said you got to feel stupid at least once a day. And after that you say, oh my God, you know, I did that once a day.
Okay.
So I believe that it really comes from two things. One is a sense of gratitude for why life got your way. And the sense of opportunity that you have here, there's no time to whine. You know, there's so much to learn, so much to contribute, so many people to meet, so much to read. So much to write about. When you're not bored, you stay inspired. Right.
Very interesting. And therefore, following from that, the next question is, what does success mean to you?
Did you read Ralph Waldo Emerson's definition of success?
No, I haven't.
I ran into it a long time ago. Let me see if I can recall it. I tried to define it in many ways, but I said, look, let me not do what someone has beautifully done for me.
Mm-hmm.
This guy says to laugh often and very much, to earn the respect of sincere critics and love of great friends, to contribute either by helping a soul, bringing up a great child, making a little difference here or there, knowing that the world is micro, nano, pico, bit better after you than it was before. And he said, look, if you're able to be satisfied about three or four things, not exactly the way Emerson said it, that's the sum of it, he said that is called succeeding. Are you able to laugh? Are you able to sleep well? We have a sincere critics and great friends.
Right.
And are you able to say, look, if my presence did not make a difference, my absence would not, but thank God, my presence did make a little bit of a difference somewhere. You don't change the world. I don't know if it's a... Is it very abstract?
No, it's not. It's not. I mean, you said it. I mean, you know, if you can laugh and if you can sleep well and you have a group of good friends, that is an amazing way to think of success.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. My next question to you is that if you, A.N., were a role model to millions of children who closely followed your life choices, what is the one thing you would change in yourself?
You know, I shows when I was running our data center operations business,
uh-huh.
I used to run a course called the Science of Service Delivery.
Mm-hmm.
My presentation had 12 bad things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to give them again about all the things that can be done. I'll tell them about the mistakes I made.
Okay.
Tell them about the lessons I learned. For example, I said, look, academics is one part of the big slice.
Mm-hmm.
Make friends. Acquire a hobby. When my first son was in his 12th board exams, he said, can I stop my piano lessons because I'm stressed? I said, do that. Then I said, oh my God, what have I done? When my second son wanted to stop his guitar at his board exams, I said, I don't care if you flunk, don't give up the guitar.
Correct.
So I'm saying, you know, be well-rounded. Second is, it took me a lot of time, a lot of mentoring by when we should learn this, listen generously, okay? I joined Cognizant because I met Francisco in the final round. This is such an incredible listener. I said, oh my God, I joined here, maybe I'll listen better. So be a good listener. And third is, you have to learn. It's important not to turn mediocrity. Mediocrity is worse than that. But you got to learn, you got to refresh, you got to question yourself. And I think I have enough examples to say, look, hey, here is where I missed. You know, I shouldn't have. I don't do those, buddy.
Very good. And my last question to you, and this is about your passions, photography, travel, music. What are you planning to do with these three very diverse hobbies?
First of all, linked. Curiosity and learning is, I think, my fuel. So I travel, I have some numerical target. I work with numbers, I should be losing a weight or being a passion, right?
Okay.
I said 75 by 75.
Right.
I should have visited 75 countries by the time I'm 75, see all the continents, see all the places that have a diversity of people, okay, geography, history, and the Mayan, Incan, Aztecs, whatever. So when I travel, photography helps me capture the moment. Photography is storytelling.
Correct.
So what started as a simple point and click, now I actually take that, but actually preserve the moments. And then writing, because I realized that reading has been one of the best gifts, right? I'm glad. I said, look, thing that I feel really good about, very passionate about, can I actually share? That's why I learned to build my website, just started my blog and travel blog. So three are very, very interlinked because they capture the process of living. You know, you're traveling, meeting, learning,
sure,
capturing the moment and sharing.
Wonderful.
And that keeps you busy, so.
I agree. Ian, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. I wish you lots of success in everything that you're wanting to do. Good luck to you.
Happy phase three, right?
Absolutely.
Ashish, thank you so much. Pleasure sharing some thoughts.
Thank you again.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.